This is CliffCentral.com.
Yep, never a dull day. I come in here and the cable's plugged into some machine I didn't even know existed. Did you see that? Down here under the...
I was trying to sort it out, and then I saw too many cables, and then I didn't know anything.
I don't know. I like, you know, these systems. This playout system that we use, which is something that, I mean, every broadcaster knows the playout system, and this one is, we've used it so many times. I mean, it just worked 24/7 pretty much since we started.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't switch off. It doesn't crash. And then suddenly last night, Aviwe, who's been interning with us for a while, he's now kind of got a permanent role here. He was trying to figure it out like late last night to make things happen. And he obviously made a plan, but I don't know how a system like this can go down ever. Because it's meant to work all the time, you know. It's a non-stop thing, and it's got backups and backups of backups, and that's cool. Headphone jack. Have you seen that?
See, it's got a new jack box.
Yeah, but everybody can use it. So plug yours in, you'll be able to hear nicely.
Well, it's got two, so not everyone can use it.
Oh, they're putting one in on that side as well, Ben.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know?
Does it sound good, Sia? Does it sound decent?
Can I just say, I'm that person with technology, as long as something works. I understand that it's physically different.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I don't know what megahertz of the kilojoule of the technical wire.
Yeah. So in other words, you don't feel any difference.
I'm plugged in and that's it.
In your earphones, you're not hearing anything different.
It's slightly more like a full-bodied sound.
That's what you want, right?
Be happy with that, Sia.
Oh.
Am I plugged in there?
Yes, you are. Oh. Can you hear anything?
Yes, I can.
Different, I mean.
Yeah.
Do I sound good, Mubs?
Yes, okay, you sound much better.
That's great. That's important.
It's funny because as well...
That's the only reason we need decent headphone jacks, so I could sound good.
Of course.
I'm driving a new car right now, and I bumped into one of my guy friends who was like, oh my gosh, and has a... thingy and this parking assistance. I know you're the TSI, and then you can move.
Is it a major upgrade? Are you driving? Because you got this yesterday, right?
I'm just driving.
When did you get the car?
2 weeks. I only have it for like 2 weeks.
What is it, Sia? Let's have some actual details here.
Yeah, come on.
It has four wheels and moves from A to B.
Okay, no. You don't know what, Sia.
Just look out of the window and see what's happening.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, as long as I know that I'm driving Hyundai or a BMW or a Mercedes, that's enough for me. Details than that, I'm just like, I just thought, read it off the car.
Yeah, I thought the letter T was just a model, but my friend was like, no, T stands for turbo. And I was like, what is turbo? What does that mean? They're like, no, when you accelerate. I'm like, bye.
You can't tell any difference between the headphones when they're plugged into a shitty amp and when they plug into a decent one. And you can't tell any difference between the car you're driving now and the one that you normally drive. So basically, Sia, you're like Warren Buffett. You never need to upgrade, no matter how rich you become one day.
Just now need to make Warren Buffett money.
he doesn't use any of it. This is the weirdest guy. I was reading about him the other day. So Warren Buffett, he eats like fast food all the time.
Mm. Oh, jeez.
And he's very frugal. He doesn't spend a cent of his own money. You know, he believes in the value of compound interest and all that stuff. So what he does is he saves every cent. He's not leaving very much to his kids at all because he thinks they've got to work.
Mm.
He gave away a huge amount of his money to this Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation because they're doing good work across the globe. It's the biggest charity in the history of humanity in terms of the amount of money that's vested in it. And he is living in the same house that he lived in before he made all his money. He drives the same car that he drove before he made all his money. Now, God forgive me. I mean, if I had that money, I would upgrade a little. Even if you are a bit schnorrer, you know, you don't want to spend your money, but upgrade a little. Like, have a bit of a life. The guy's in his 80s now.
Probably.
Hasn't had, he's done nothing that you would regard as being over the top. in terms of spending his money. He doesn't go on fancy holidays. He doesn't buy fancy wristwatches. There's nothing about the money that he's made that he's spent on himself. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to have one indulgence, right?
But clearly he doesn't. I mean, when did he become the... Is he a billionaire?
He's a billionaire a couple of times over. He's like fifth richest man in the world.
So...
supremely rich. The guy could spend... He could spend $2 million a day and he'd never run out of money.
So how
Just
long...
Just let that sink in for a moment.
Yeah.
Imagine going to the shops. $2 million a day... dollars, and you will never run out of money. I've probably made a conservative guess there. I would reckon it's he could probably spend $10 million a day and he'd still never run out of money.
Yeah, because you realize he hasn't got too many days left either. He's quite old.
Yeah, sure.
87 years old.
But I mean, if you did that over 40 years, so $10 million a day, 40 years, that's what, $400 million? Isn't it?
Here we go.
$10 million a day.
Yeah, if he spends
in a year, okay, so that 10, is 10 times 365.
Right, so let me times 365.
That's 3.6.
Yeah, it's a lot of big money. Yeah. Oh my God, all right, I can't work
never
it out.
Never
oh,
I love how
my computer
to...
screen just like froze up on me when I put in that number. Look, the guy could spend a lot of money and never run out. The point is that he doesn't.
Because he probably...
Why?
Because he doesn't feel like he needs to. And this is why I'm asking, how long has he been in that tax bracket? Because over the decades, he would have seen the world improve. He would have seen new toys, new gadgets come onto the surface, new ways to tempt people to buy more stuff. And he has never felt like he needs any of it this entire time.
But don't you think it's because
it's amazing.
He invests in these companies, right? He's got loads of shares. That's what he does.
Mm.
So he probably thinks that he invests in companies that lure stupid people to part with their money. So he doesn't want to be the person he profits from.
It's weird because he's not like that.
Maybe
either.
Mentally he's got that he's, going.
No, that's a Ben thing. You're projecting yourself into him. He doesn't.
No,
he,
I was just coming up with what I think is a solution about him.
I don't. That's not. He's actually a real philanthropist. Like, he actually likes people. He's not anti people, and he invests in companies. By the way, not because he thinks the people who buy from them are dumb. He invests in companies that he would buy from. So it's that much of a personal thing for him. It's weird. I'll tell you what I think it is, because I know someone who's similar to this. They're also worth tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
Not in Warren Buffett's category, but they're worth a shit ton of money.
Mm.
And their thing is that they get massively turned on by taking something that's this big and making it this big.
Yeah.
That's what they get turned on by. It's not the money. It's the making of it. It's like being able to multiply, you know, like our president, for example, wants to multiply his seed. Our former president, Jacob Zuma. He wants to have children. He wants to be like Genghis Khan. And they say that 1 in 6 people in the world is related to or descended from Genghis Khan. Because he just had so much sex with so many women. And his progeny are all over the world. So Jacob Zuma thinks of that in terms of like impregnating women and having children. Warren Buffett wants to take one grain of sand and make it into a billion. Mm-hmm. And the thrill is in seeing it multiply like that.
So
that's
his
thrill.
So I get that in terms of defining or justifying his work ethic. Exactly.
Couldn't you spoil yourself once?
Just a higher thread count with your sheets.
Yeah, dude.
Someone to bring you breakfast in bed.
I almost find it enviable, though, because it means that he will never be a slave to material things.
Whereas
most of us wake up every day and we're chasing these things that we'll probably never get for ourselves.
Yep. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Like, I don't know.
No, you're spot on.
It is interesting, though.
It's fascinating. I can't stop thinking about how what his head is. What's going on in there? You know, the guy is just—he's just a phenomenon. He really is. And to live like that, live in the same house, drive the same car,
get the same breakfast every day.
Because most of us don't think of money as a way to multiply things. We think of money as this is what we need to be able to improve our existence. He doesn't. He's like, my existence is great. I don't need the money. What I'm doing is I'm filling my my time up with something that means something to me by multiplying this money. It's crazy.
But also, if he's kept his lifestyle quite modest, it means that he also raised his children in that modest upbringing where they're not one day going to grow up to feel entitled.
That's true. He doesn't believe in that at all.
Yeah. So he didn't spoil his kids to the point where they're walking around thinking, I'm Warren Buffett's son or daughter. I am better than the rest of you.
And you know, you're entitled to do whatever you want with your money. That's the funny. If someone wants to save the rainforest square meter by square meter, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody feels like buying a car, you can do that. He lives in Omaha, Nebraska. Do you know what that is? It's a shithole.
You don't go there, yeah.
Nobody goes there. Nobody says in their travel plans around America,
oh, I can't wait.
But you left off Omaha. We've got to go there. It's just, it's mad. Anyway.
He's a very different and peculiar individual, though, overall.
But I
remember watching his documentary, and certain things came up that just were very, very weird. There was this one time his wife was sick, and his wife asked for, I think she had like the fever.
Yeah.
And she asked for a pot or some sort of bowl for her to have some cold water to put a washcloth in. And because he had never really been into the kitchen or doesn't know how, where everything is, he went into the kitchen and rummaged around. That's what the wife said. And he came back with one of those strainers, like when you're cooking pasta, and it has the holes in them. Mm-hmm. And that strainer was on a tray because like his mind couldn't process what was in the kitchen or whatnot. Brought that to her. And she was like, but honey, like, couldn't you get a pot? Couldn't you get a bowl or something or the other? Yeah. So his mind works in a different way and says like, there's so many family holidays or it was Christmas and the kids and the wife were taking a picture downstairs and he was always just in his room alone.
Like checking the stocks.
And not even just working, but he's just a loner and he enjoys his own company. And I think the weirdest thing that I found out from the documentary is his wife has this best friend and his wife at the time was, she was the one who was building his foundation and was based in California while he still stayed in the same town. And because after that, this trainer incident as well, his wife was like, you know what? Let me get my best friend to just check up on you every couple of days to the point
she
where
she can't leave him.
Yeah, to the point where the friend and him now are married because like, I know it's weird. And the wife was fine with it saying, you know what? I think you two are better off rather than.
Oh, wow.
I know.
She didn't even ask for money?
No, she was like, you know, I'd rather you two get together because I'm enjoying my life building the foundation in California. You two are fine as you were.
So basically, what you've just described there is a fruitcake. But because he's got $85.8 billion,
we'll skim past it, right?
Everyone will refer to him as, he's quirky.
Yeah.
He's different.
Yes, he's a genius. He thinks on a different brainwave than the rest of us.
He's a loner, but he's doing it. Yeah. If he had Egg McMuffin money, people would throw fruits at him.
Yeah, they'd laugh at him on the side of the street. You're
he
right.
Just described a fruitcake.
But I reckon this is his big driving force, is that he knows that he can be a little bit weird and everyone's going to go, oh, wow, he doesn't spend all his money. He's going, yeah, bitches, that's my thing. Well, and I reckon he gets off on that, no doubt about it.
Well, that makes me think, what kind of eccentricities that all of us have that we're aware of would be acceptable if we were billionaires? What kind of weird, you know, behavioral quirk that you have, would you like to make mainstream by being a billionaire?
No pants.
No pants. Is that your thing, Ben?
you could just roll no pants, but hey, look, there's that billionaire. Wow, he's really progressive. He's not wearing pants.
So we're talking about you here.
Yeah.
Is that something you would want to do, or is it something that you think would be funny?
Yeah, but both.
So you get home, and then what happens, Ben? What happens?
Do you take off your pants every time you get home?
Not straight away, but I mean, once I get normal things, especially in summer, sure.
If any of us knock on your door in the middle of summer.
No one knocks on my door.
Okay, but if we did, this is hypothetical. So if we came to your house on a Wednesday afternoon at 2:00 in the middle of summer, and we went, hey, Ben, open up, it's an emergency. You would come to the door without pants, usually.
Maybe, yeah.
That's amazing.
See?
I didn't know that about you. I've known you a long time. I didn't know that.
I don't mean to be crass. I mean, yeah, I was going to ask, is it like no pants or no underwear as well?
No, I just like obviously underwear.
Yeah, so, obviously. So Ben, because all of this
Ben
is
rocking around in underwear most of the time at home. Well, that's fine. I mean, what a thing. If you were a billionaire, that would be totally acceptable.
Be totally fine.
In fact, people would, they'd let you into the office. They'd open the doors for you. They'd say, ah, Mr. Karpinski, your empire is ready for you. And you'd walk in without your pants and people would applaud.
Yeah. They would say, oh, what a visionary.
Yeah.
I do this right now. You guys throw me out the window.
Yes.
And point fingers at you. Yes.
Yeah, Ben would have a big glass window in his office that he would look down on everyone else, but he'd be standing there without pants the whole time. That's a good one. No pants. That would be a very individual statement on society.
Jeez.
What would you do, Sia?
I don't think I have any odd quirks.
Oh, no, not at all. Just go to a restaurant and order something. No.
I think the only thing is when you have money, people are more accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to please you. Mm-hmm. They want to be in your good books. So I think people would just go along with some of like the crazy ideas that I have or the crazy things that I'd say. Like, of course, I want to have a dinner party in an hour with 250 people. And I want it ready in an hour. And people would be fine with that.
And they'd jump around and make it happen.
Yeah. No one would say I'm difficult. No one would say it's a problem.
Yeah. A lot of them would be happy to serve you.
Absolutely.
What would you do?
I don't have any weird eccentricities.
Oh,
I mean,
the dungeon.
I got how many years of experience to prove otherwise?
No, I don't. In my extreme cases of wanting to be alone, I just shut everything out. Mm. Like I switch off my phone. I avoid everyone to the point where my parents will panic. Like there've been times where people are knocking on my door and I just wait for them to go away. I never open the door.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to be able to.
That's in the extreme moment of me just wanting to be left alone.
Wait, isn't, do you know who they are or you aren't even interested?
Have you ever seen a therapist about this?
No, I haven't. I probably should.
I reckon, no, like, and I'm not being funny, but that's because there's wanting to be alone. I get that too. And I know Ben does as well, but where you would just wait for them to go away because they're knocking on the door and it might be really important or urgent, or maybe it's a delivery, or I don't know. I mean, some of those things probably aren't urgent. Who knows? But it might be things. These might be things that are worth following up on.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I mean, like spending a bit of time talking to someone you can trust. You know.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. For most parts of my life, I'm a normal functioning human being. Yeah.
For most
it's just
parts.
In those extreme moments where I just need to take.
How regularly does this happen? Where you just want to shut everything out?
Not regularly. I mean, the last time that I had people concerned was last year.
Yeah, it's like it's a very severe agoraphobia. It's just.
How long do you think you'd be able to spend alone?
Well, it can be days.
Hmm. No human contact at all.
Yeah.
Oh.
What do you do during those days? I mean, like, do you rummage around the house? Do you make food? Do you watch TV?
I talk to myself.
You talk to yourself.
And I have very unhealthy conversations with myself.
You need to talk to someone who's an expert in
this. Yes. You're probably right.
Like you've got a lot of life ahead of you. If you were at 70 something, I'd say, you know what, you're a crazy old witch and you must carry on doing this. But I think like with youth on your side and you are not old, like there's a couple of good decades ahead of you if you can figure a way through this. And it doesn't have to be weeks of social isolation. I mean, that would be...
No, not weeks, just days. Like, just a couple of days.
Still, I think about that when you calculate the sum of the days at the end of your life. And you're like, wow, I spent that amount of time kind of in my own head.
But as a billionaire, once she buys a villa on top of a mountain,
yeah, then
and
it's
she
fine.
Spends days then there, say, like, she's a thinker.
No, she's so pious, yeah.
She's a revolutionary.
She's talking to God.
Yes!
You know?
She's ahead of her time.
Yeah.
Let her be.
Well, that's it.
Money changes.
So interesting.
Everything.
I think there would be... Yeah, there'd be quite a lot of things that I would want to start making mainstream.
Like what? Oh, gosh.
Yeah. No, because I read this article. I just quickly want to go to this because I know we've got to get to the five things. Parenting expert reveals why you should always discipline someone else's child if you see them misbehaving.
No.
When you see bad behavior, Ben actually sent this to me. You should step in and discipline another child. Picture this. You're with your child at the playground and you watch another child push your daughter and snatch her toy away. Meanwhile, the other child's parent looks on but doesn't intervene. Would you intervene and discipline the other child? It's an age-old dilemma for parents. When you do your best to teach a child values and good behavior, it can be frustrating to see other children act up without punishment. But is it socially acceptable to step in and discipline another person's child? Well, this Dr. Justin Coulson believes it is. Listen to what he has to say. Maybe you agree. Maybe you disagree. There are a lot of parents who would get very upset about this, I reckon. But have a listen to this and you tell me what you think. It's a very controversial thing, right?
Mm.
Hugely controversial. People will lose their minds over stuff like this.
Parents will get into fistfights over stuff like this.
Big time. But apparently it's really, really important. Mm. And this guy has all the experience to be able to back up what he's saying. So let's take a listen to him. That's Dr. Justin Coulson. He says, when it comes to disciplining someone else's child, this is the right thing to do.
I think that any of us want somebody else to hurt our child, okay? So that means that we probably shouldn't be hurting other people's children. But if you look at what discipline actually means, you look up the etymology of the word, where it came from, it comes from the word disciple, which means to teach or to guide or to instruct. I think every single one of us has a social requirement to intervene and to teach, to guide and to instruct, whether it's our children or somebody else's. We've got a social obligation to do that.
Hmm. So what do you think of that?
See, I didn't...
He says it's in the word discipline.
I didn't realize that it's when your own children are involved. Because I thought he meant that even me, sitting there at the park and I see somebody mistreating my nephew or someone, can I get involved?
Well, you can't hurt the child, but he says you can instruct, you can teach. Basically, he is Australia's leading parenting expert and an honorary fellow at the Centre for Positive Psychology in the Graduate School of Education at the University of Melbourne. So he's not talking from his backside and making this stuff up. He's not some motivational speaker. He says it's really important to intervene, but the question of discipline comes down to definitions. And he obviously says that the definition of discipline is very different to what most people think it is. It's to teach, guide or instruct.
The problem here is that parents, as soon as they see somebody else moving in on their territory, i.e. their child, their defenses go up.
Yeah, definitely. And people are not objective.
No, they're not.
But maybe that's one thing that it encourage everybody to start disciplining each other's children. What do you think of that? Let's get into the five things you need to know today. These are the stories that are going to come up at the office or at school, at varsity, at work. And you need to know what's happening. Go ahead, Mubs. Give us the latest.
The KZN Acting Police Commissioner, Beki Nkosi Langa, has appointed a high-level team from his office to investigate the violence which broke out at the Moses Mabhida Stadium over the weekend. Police officers who were deployed at the stadium would also be investigated to see if they reacted as expected and whether they could have prevented the clashes. Because, you know, after the incident, everybody then starts to point fingers at who was to blame and who should take the responsibility.
Well, after Ben spoke about it yesterday, I went home and saw the news footage. It was horrible. Just chaos. It got like police vehicles driving on the field. People were burning and breaking down parts of the stadium. I mean, that's my favorite stadium. It's so beautiful. If you've been there, it's just magnificent. And watching any match of any kind in that stadium is such a privilege.
It's just so sad. There's no respect for things. Like, people are kicking cameras. Like, yeah. I mean, what kind of a moron are you?
I saw a bunch of they interviewed some Chiefs fans afterwards, and some of the ones who stayed in the stand and were just as horrified as we are were saying they can't believe people behave like this. So it's not like everyone was involved, but you've got to feel bad for... Imagine you're called in to sort that out. You're like, you're the police. The police in this country have real responsibilities, like major, major problems to deal with. Imagine you have to get involved in a football match because people get upset when their team loses. I mean, this happens all over the world. Let's not pretend that we're worse than anywhere else. You know, there are those Polish football hooligans, Ben, who you often talk about, who are like the most dangerous people in the world. They walk around like with knives and guns.
Yeah, it's traditional gangsters, basically. Yeah. They went from being tribes and gangs to now football.
Right. Gangs. So it happens everywhere. It's not a South African peculiarity, but it does seem to be like there's certain kinds of people who gravitate towards violence at football matches. And they're probably the same people who are doing other horrible things in society.
It's, I mean, there's so many layers to this thing. It's that mob mentality discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw did you see in Mahikeng over the weekend? There were massive protests about Supramumapelo.
Mm, mm.
And they, what do they do when people are upset with the premier of the of the Northwest? What do? Do you go to the premier's office and protest outside with signs? No. You go and loot the Pick and Pay, which makes no sense to me at all. Like, Super doesn't own the Pick and Pay. The Pick and Pay is good. And there is only one big Pick and Pay in Mahikeng. So it means that everybody who goes and shops there, everybody who gets their sustenance and buys their groceries and all that stuff from there, now they can't go there because they've got to shut down for a week and restock and claim from insurance and blah. So nobody gets hurt when these things happen, but you're basically going after the wrong guy. You know, it's like I often hear these stories about how when people are upset with their local representative who goes to parliament for them, they'll burn down a school or something. You know, they're obviously very frustrated people who can't articulate their problem, and that's for various reasons. But then they don't have a school and they have a bad representative.
But I really want to get into the psychology of when it's still in domino effect mode, because it's started by maybe someone or a small group of individuals and then it escalates.
Right.
So I want to understand the psychology of, for example, with this Moses Mabhida incident, the people who were just kind of there observing, who must have been terrified and thinking to myself, oh my goodness, how do I stop this?
Yeah.
Versus the people who thought, oh wait, hang on, Ben is on the field, let me also join in and go onto the field. Mm-hmm. You know, the difference between those two, that is what interests me.
Yeah, I that's exactly right. It would be a fascinating psychological evaluation to do, especially on those ringleaders at the moment that it becomes a general thing.
Yeah.
All right.
So the ANN7 news channel will now be known as Afro World View, and it will go live at the end of the month. The New Age newspaper title name will also change. It will be called Afro Voice. This follows an announcement that a vendor financing deal had been settled. Mzwanele Manyi's Afrotone Media Holdings yesterday unveiled that the rebranded television news channel as well as the daily newspaper. The television news channel's contract on MultiChoice DSTV platform ends on August the 30th following MultiChoice's decision not to renew the ANN7 contract. So Afro Worldview and Afro Voice. That's what it is now.
Guys, we're still here, and yesterday we were meant to all die in Armageddon.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
well.
Let's give ourselves a round of applause, okay. Yes.
All right.
We will survive. Right. Oh, as long as we know how to love, I know
you want to bring
we'll
on the end of the world.
Was this deal only done because they were waiting for the end of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Ben, I don't have that kind of intel for you, unfortunately.
It would make sense, though. I mean,
these would have been, you know, high-level closed-door discussions that none of us are privy to. But, hey, there you go. Now, two South African women have been awarded a prestigious international environmental award for the work that they did in winning a crucial court case against plans by the government to proceed with a nuclear build program.
Nuclear.
Mako Malekalakala and Liziwe McDade. Were due to receive the Goldman Environmental Prize in San Francisco. In fact, that went down yesterday. And this comes after the two ladies, through their organizations, approached the Western Cape High Court back in October of 2015, where they were challenging the government's decision to buy into nuclear energy. And last year, the court set aside nuclear agreements, which were signed by the government, declaring the procurement processes unlawful and unconstitutional. So congratulations to these two ladies.
Yeah, good for them. I love hearing those kinds of stories. Move things forward.
Congratulations also to Kate and William. They now have a new baby boy.
Woo!
Is it Prince Kevin or Prince Wayne? What's his name?
It's Devante.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew my money was on Devante.
Prophecy plays out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he could have been Devante. Why not?
We don't know just yet.
You know.
Yes, try. I'm
really going to dig deep. I'm going to try so hard to be excited about Will and Kate having a kid. But hang on, let me...
Stick deeper.
Nothing. Nothing's coming.
All right.
Still nothing.
All right,
I can't make myself excited about this.
How many kids is this now?
Three.
But hang on, Gareth. There were people who were camping outside the hospital for weeks leading up to yesterday.
Right.
Are you trying to tell me you're not moved to find even just...
No.
A teaspoonful of excitement?
You know, it's weird. Like, I find Will and Kate are so middle class. It's like watching a middle class family having a middle class child. And who gets excited about that?
Oh.
Like, William is so unattractive in his bald. He's got this big toothy grin and he's bald on top. He's just the most ordinary looking dude. You know... If you're going to consider the myth of royalty, if you're going to get into that, if you're going to let people, ordinary people, oh, yes, my lord, oh, your majesty, oh, I'm just a peasant. Hmm. If you're going to buy into that shit, then you need to have someone who's different. That's why I kind of like, I don't even know about the queen. I mean, she does a reasonably good job, and she's done a pretty good job for, 80 years or something. Mm-hmm. She's been queen for 70-something years. But Prince Philip, to me, there's something different about that guy. He's like he's a real old aristocrat. Doesn't give a shit about anyone. And he lives this incredible life, and he sounds different to everyone else. He moves differently to everyone else. You could almost believe he was a different species. William is so goddamned ordinary. He could be working at the pub down the road, and you wouldn't know.
But that is precisely it. It's the myth around these people.
Exactly.
They're all actually very ordinary.
Right.
They just happened to be born to the right name.
So who is going to spend their day camping outside the hospital waiting for this little shit to be born?
I will tell you what. There were people who were placing bets on what the name is going to be. Now, Sia tells me that they haven't yet decided on the name.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are going to be waking up today. They're going to go back to that hospital because, as you know, once Kate gets discharged...
She's already out.
Oh, is she already out?
Which is bizarre, yeah.
So they do that whole thing where her and William walk outside and they wave to the
crowd.
Yes,
she's wearing a striking red dress, but okay, I'm get excited.
Did you get excited?
I know.
Because you and your mom are big royal fans.
I have to say, there's something about it, and actually we did compare. Oh, we sounded so over the top now. But yes, we did compare how like Will and Kate walked out with the babies.
You phoned your mom?
Yeah, we had a little chat about it and how Will was actually the one who drove his family back to...
Oh my God, you see? Like, that's where... If you're going to keep up the
we
myth,
are the people.
Someone's got to grab this guy by whatever his hair's left on his head.
No.
Say, listen to me, you idiot. If you want people to carry on with this you're the king thing, you need to behave differently to everybody else. You need to be driven. You need to dress differently. You need to sound different. You need to be different.
No, but listen.
Trying to be so
that's what Diana instilled in his mind.
No,
she
but that stuff has happened over time, and it is partly due to people like Prince Philip, Gareth. I was watching a documentary on the House of Windsor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And part of the things that he started doing when he arrived in the palace was he would carry his own luggage, which was shocking and horrific, but he insisted. He said, you people need to let go of some of these silly traditions.
I know, but...
But something that put things into perspective was a tweet yesterday, someone saying, like they were making fun of the official statement that is released by the royal, saying along the lines of, the Duchess is at home with the new baby being, and they are both doing well, and they are grateful to all of the taxpayers because this new baby is now richer than all of you.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like they're taking advantage, right? You have two children that are on the public payroll. This is what I always say about anyone who's receiving state money, whether you're a president or a king or a welfare recipient. You're taking the piss if you have more than two kids because now you're expecting everybody to dock up for you to expand your family beyond what's reasonable. I don't like that.
And to be quite honest, this prince will probably never, ever be king.
This is
an extra one.
He's fifth
this
in line.
This one's going to go on a gap year and get a ukulele. And, yeah, this one's going to do.
Yeah, this one's going to really do very little with its life. Yeah, it's going to be a complete waste of taxpayers' money. And
this one will sell henna tattoos at some stage.
Right. Of course, this is terrible news for all the other royals because, you know, the more people come between the Queen and Prince Harry in terms of succession, the less they all matter and they all start falling off the payroll as well.
Harry's now down to sixth.
Right.
Prince Andrew.
Oh, he's just right off seventh. The reserve. Nobody cares about Andrew.
Yeah.
And his daughters are fucked now.
Beatrice properly. And Eugenie are now eighth and ninth.
Yeah.
And Prince Edward is now 10th.
Yeah, I mean, his mother's the queen, but he's like right off there now. Forget about it. And then all those other ones beyond him, I mean, it gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
You think Jacob Zuma has a big family?
So.
Anyway. All right. Well, I'm gonna try really hard to be excited about this. But in the meantime, let's take a look at some cryptocurrency and get ready for Ben in the sport. We've got a couple of other cool things happening today. We'll be talking about the Castle Light Chance the Rapper concert, which I know some people are very excited about. Sia's already lined up some tickets for himself. And we'll talk about the whole campaign and how it's gone down, who else will be performing, and what people are really excited about there when it comes to Chance the Rapper and the Castle Light Unlocks exclusive, which is happening on the 30th. It's just around the corner. You got to get in there. All right, quick look at cryptocurrencies. So guess what? We're having a great, great week. Bitcoin is now at $9,371.04. Can you believe that, Ben?
Gareth, it's really like it's been resuscitated.
I know. It's been given CPR. And not only Bitcoin, but Ethereum is at $694.47. Run, who's been as quiet as a mouse for the last couple of months, is probably going to be knocking on our door next week, right?
Ethereum's 35% up this week.
Yes. And then some other nice increases. Monero is steadily making its way back to where it was in December, $278.46. Some huge increases for Bitcoin Gold. Massive. Bitcoin Gold is at $87.08. It's pretty impressive. All right, let's get to Ben. Let's see what's happening in the world of sport. Ben, what do you got for us today? No, wait, you got to wait for music. About to say something.
No, I was waiting for the music. That's what professionalism is.
Ooh.
Irwin Kosa got in front of a whole bunch of people yesterday, and in an expensive suit and a stern face, he read a whole bunch of, well, platitudes towards this and that. And he basically played the blame game. Apparently it was Musi Mamani's fault, it was the police's fault, it was the global sporting trend's fault, and it was basically SA Sport's fault that there was all this pandemonium in the field. I mean, look, it was quite a long-winded press conference, and there was quite a lot being said, so I'm not going to get into all of that. But he mentioned something about the fact that it's a trend in South African sport that there's violence. Now, a friend of mine on Twitter said, a trend in South African sports, we don't see this in netball, we don't see this in hockey, in rugby, in cricket, in golf. Where else are we seeing all this hooliganism? It is the PSL. It is teams like Chiefs. Chiefs have such a long rap sheet here of people just... they have terrible disasters, terrible, terrible disasters. Times Live actually ran a story this morning about 10 things that the Chiefs fans have been involved in. Mm-hmm. And it's not pretty. From basically someone getting shot, killed. There's just too many disasters. This is the whole thing, is that all these things happen. Basically, someone in a suit then says stern things and then nothing happens. Therefore, something else happens again. There has got to be an end to all of this. And again, like, you can say the right things, but what's happening? Why were there not immediate judgments taking place here? Why was there not immediate action taking place? No. 3rd of May, they're going to convene, and then they're going to have a disciplinary hearing for Chiefs. 3rd of May. What else are these guys doing other than fleecing sponsors and basically making Kosa rich? Why can't they just sit there, take Sunday? Sorry if you're going to miss a day of eating beluga caviar of teenage girls, but I mean, set this stuff together. Get it together. The stuff can't just keep being waylaid and thrown out. And after all of this, one guy appeared in court yesterday. One guy.
I saw that. So maybe, I felt so sorry for him, because even if he's a shithead, he's taking the rap for everybody else.
So maybe that once there's one case I'll agree with the Iron Duke. Why is it that there was police at the stadium and one guy was in court yesterday? We've all seen the scenes. There were hundreds of people acting like complete and utter arseheads. It's just, why one guy? And there's always other questions. Anyway, so the female security guard that was beaten up turns out is not a female. It's some guy who's now obviously been going through the trauma and indignity of being beaten up on live television. He is fine. He's been discharged from hospital. And a Johannesburg businessman has essentially pledged an entire year's salary for him to deal with the trauma and to set himself back up after this.
So we thought it was a woman yesterday.
Yeah, so the widespread speculation was, but it wasn't a woman, it was a man. And
I'm not a man, I'm a woman.
Yeah. So the guy, yeah. Anyway, so
shame. I mean,
that story.
Nice end for, well, at least someone has stepped up and said they're going to sort this out.
But that's just it. There are more good people than bad people, yet these right. The bad minority, as always the case, are allowed to run amok here. And, I mean, setting fire to stuff, like Gareth mentioned earlier, that stadium is something that South Africans should be proud of. It's the legacy of the World Cup. And here you get these hoodlums. That's all they are. They're just common hoodlums. Setting fire to something that we should be able to say to foreigners, oh, you must go see the Mozambique Stadium. It's something we're really proud of. No. Let's set fire to it. Yeah. Because that's going to just help everything. Makes you really, really angry because, as Gary said earlier, this isn't all the supporters. There were Chiefs fans just as outraged as any other person about this. It's this minority. But one guy was in court yesterday. You've got to hope for better in this country. And these things, it's not like this is the tip of the iceberg. This has kind of been happening. There's a lot of different things here.
Yeah.
So, Champions League football tonight, though. That's a big deal. If you're a fan of Liverpool, well, Liverpool, your big night is against Roma. Tonight, 8:45 at Anfield. Now, this is the semi-final stage. So, Liverpool, great chance to get onto the front foot here with a good win. But Jurgen Klopp has had to say, and again, this goes back to stupidity in football. He's asked them very nicely to behave themselves tonight. Because you all know in the quarterfinals against Man City, they trashed the team bus at Man City. Unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. I mean, it should actually be the case that these guys should be playing this game behind closed doors. Because the fan... actions should be punished. So he's asked them to just stop acting like common scousers and act like international football fans, which is a big stretch for a lot of these people. But that'll be tonight, 8:45. And then tomorrow, Munchen will take on Real Madrid. But we'll get to that closer to the time. Dylan Hartley, he is England's rugby captain. And he's not coming to SA to play the box in June. And, well, basically most of their good players aren't coming either. There are so many injuries that are in this English camp right now. And skipper Dylan Hartley, well, he's had a bunch of head injuries. He's pretty close to just drooling as a human.
Wow, adult. That's pretty horrible.
And he's taken doctor's advice now, and he's going to stay away from the game for a while. He's going to take an extended period of rest. So back in 2016, he took a couple of knocks. Probably should have taken a break, but you know, you're given the captaincy of your national team.
You have to get in there.
You always want to play because rugby players are much like gladiators. They're not going to go, you know what, I'll just play better next year. You never know when your next year is going to happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to try to play while you're given the chance. So he is taking the more sensible route. He's taking the summer off. So England's chance of winning this test series, obviously getting worse and worse by the day because, as I said, more and more senior players are not coming out, which is... it's good and bad. Like you want the Springboks to play against the best, but at the same time, with a new coach, a new setup, maybe kind of nice for them to ease into this, get the confidence up, and then really prove themselves in the rugby championships. That's me not being too negative there. It's just
all right.
Kind of nice. The Proteas have announced their incoming tours for next summer. They host the Might of Zimbabwe in September and October. There'll be ODIs and T20s. Hurrah, three of each. Then, the Pakistan tour. This will be the big one for the summit. They are playing three test matches. So that's right at the beginning. The Boxing Day test will take place at Centurion, which is really nice, because I believe that there should be a Boxing Day test in Gauteng, because not everyone goes away to the coast, and even if they do, they don't go watch cricket while at the coast.
No.
So it's stupid giving it to PE, it's stupid giving it to Durban, both of which have failed dismally. Centurion, fantastic ground. As I've always said, you've got to go to this place. It's really nice, like a village green that's made a little bit bigger, and you can smell boerewors all day, so maybe not the biggest day for vegetarians, but it's a lovely day for cricket in general. 26th to 30th of December. Then January 3rd to 7th will be the Newlands test at Cape Town, which is always the best, the biggest, the most well-supported, the most perfect example of Test cricket in South Africa. And then January 11th to 15th, the Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg, the third test for the Pakistan team. There'll be 5 ODIs and 3 T20s after that, and then Sri Lanka come out here. Of course, the Proteas are going to be in Sri Lanka this July. That's their next test of Test cricket. But now the Sri Lankan tour sees Test matches going back to Durban and PE. Cricket South Africa, I mean, who are you trying to impress here? They don't deserve Test matches. They don't do anything with Test matches.
Why do you
say that? Why are they getting Test matches?
Let me try and be fair-minded about this. So why would you say they don't? Because I know that the weather is sometimes the biggest letdown. But are there other reasons? Is it the crowd?
The biggest opponent for the Proteas is Australia. Australia just came out here for a Test series. They played at Durban. They played in PE. The crowds were just dreadful. Terrible.
Just small numbers.
Small numbers. It doesn't cost a lot to go watch Test cricket. Seriously, for 50 rand, you can go there and watch a day of Test cricket. 50 bucks. It's not a price thing. These guys just don't support cricket. I mean, Durban's terrible for supporting anything, really. And you can, various reasons at play, and I'm not being mean to Durbanites, but it doesn't work there. It's nothing personal. It's just business. So why take Test cricket there? Why not give Bloemfontein a go? Why not give Potchefstroom another go? There's plenty of drunk students that want to shout at things other than themselves. Think out the box here, Cricket South Africa. Maybe you don't have to because you're sitting on this cash stack, what you're so proud and smug about. But it's just, it doesn't make any sense. I know the commentators like going there because they get to play golf at certain golf courses. But are we really just appeasing them? It's just bollocks. So Sri Lanka will play the two tests, and then they'll play 5 ODIs, 3 T20s. So, of course, World Cup year next year. There's a lot less Test cricket happening, but the Proteas are gearing up for the big showdown where they go to England and hopefully don't choke the crap out of it again. That would be really nice for all concerned in sport. Gareth, that's all we've got time for today, though.
All right.
So more sport tomorrow.
Well, we've got time for Sia, Said by Sia, which is next, and we'll get into that in a second. I did want to play something for you quickly. There's a guy, he's a real hero. This is the dude, James Shaw, who grabbed the barrel of a gun that was used to kill 4 people at a Nashville Waffle House. He says he's sorry he couldn't save more people, but this to me is a hero. And I know Sia often talks about people who are heroes in society. So this guy's hands are burned from grabbing the barrel of the gun during this shootout. But what a guy. I mean, God bless this dude. Listen to him. Here he is.
Reload. Not exactly sure, but I saw my opportunity in my window. So I took it, and I ran through the door as fast as I can, and just kind of jammed him up with the gun when it pointed down, and then we started kind of wrestling for it and scuffling and fighting for it. And after he let it go with one hand, and then when he just had it in his other hand, I just took it and I tossed it over the counter, and I pretty much removed him out of the restaurant with myself, and then he kind of walked off by himself.
So you pushed him out of the restaurant?
Yes.
I mean, what a brave human being.
Jeez. This guy is something else. Because
he could have stayed outside. He didn't have to get involved. He ran in. What a brave guy. He ran in to an armed person. He grabs the barrel of the gun, which is still hot from the bullets that he's used to kill those 4 people. And he throws the gun over the counter. He obviously wrestles this guy. Gets him to leave the restaurant. He wins, basically. What a strong human being. How many people do you know who could do that?
Sure.
0.
There we go.
Following that,
James Shaw.
James is now the guy who's visiting some of the victims who were able to survive in hospital. He's even started a GoFundMe page for these victims.
Right.
So he is still going above and beyond. Really, he's an amazing guy.
What a terrific, terrific human being. I just can't tell you how much respect I have for people like that. They are the world's greatest people. They put their own life second in line to someone else, saving some other lives. What a guy. All right, here's Sia.
Yeah, look, I have some details on the shooter and how much of a nutcase he is. We can discuss that a little after 7. But this morning, let's continue rather to celebrate some amazing people, and South Africans particularly, because now the world is celebrating one of our own. So congratulations to UCT Professor Kelly Chibale, who has been named as one of Fortune Magazine's 50 World's Greatest Leaders for 2019. 2018. That's not an easy title to come by or achieve. And so I just wanted to shine the spotlight on him this morning because he's amazing. So Professor Kelly Chibale, he's the founder and director of H3D, which is Africa's first integrated drug discovery center. And that is how he came to receive the honor from Fortune magazine. He's currently a UCT professor and has grown his company H3D into a world-class center. The center, which is located at the University of Cape Town, has more than 60 researchers and offers space to around 30 postgraduate and research students, and works with the likes of the Gates Foundation, you know, Melinda Bill Gates, and Medicines for Malaria Venture, and the South African government as well. So through this work, the facility mainly focuses on drugs to combat the likes of malaria and TB. And Professor Kelly's goal is to create drugs that can be used and avoid the human body from becoming drug resistant. So Professor Kelly believes that there's room for the African continent to make meaningful contributions towards medical discoveries versus usually being reliant on medical discoveries from abroad. So he's making massive, massive moves and just casually being on this list of the world's 50 greatest leaders amongst his partners, Bill and Melinda Gates. And he hopes that more people will believe in his cause and support him in the work that he does. Really, his story is extraordinary. Apart from the great work that he's doing currently, he's not originally from South Africa. He comes from Zambia, mm-hmm. from poverty, and has now worked really, really hard to be a world-leading professor. So he just hopes that his story will inspire many to never give up on their dreams, just as long as they work hard. Because he says, as corny as it sounds, but it's true, he doesn't believe where you come from is what matters, but rather where you end up that does. So I wanted to just salute UCT Professor Kelly Chibale this morning, who is part of Fortune Magazine's 50 World's Greatest Leaders for 2018 this morning on Set by Sia.
Fantastic. Love it.
Yeah, not an easy title.
All right, very nice. Hey, listen, if you think you've got what it takes to work here at cliffcentral.com, if you have creative flair, if you've got ideas coming out of everywhere, if you've maybe got a bit of technical insight, cliffcentral.com is turning 4 next week on the 1st of May. 4 years ago, we pioneered the space. We're growing and leading the charge, and we want you to come along with us. So we're hiring. We're looking for a person who has the ability to cause change in industry, find solutions to problems, a person who not only has to think up great ideas, but wants to make them happen. Someone who sets high goals for themselves, a self-starter. If your creativity and work ethic is unmatched and you're unafraid to take risks and break new ground, we want you to join our Unradio team. You know, this could also be the thing. I've met people who've said to me that they feel they get to a point in their career where they need something new. Mm-hmm. They need a new challenge. And some people don't. Some people are very easy with, you know, kind of swapping gently and massaging one career into the next. Some people want a very drastic change. So maybe you're in a completely unrelated industry, but this is what you think you want to do. Contact us. We're looking for someone unforgettable, someone who's multidimensional, thinks outside the box. If you think that that is you, email us 100-word motivation. It's not a lot, but it needs to be good. We'll be judging you. 100 words. You can send it to untapped@cliffcentral.com. Untapped, one word. UNTAPPED @cliffcentral.com. Telling us why you would fit the part. We don't want your CV. We don't want a demo tape. We don't want a video reel. We want to hear about you. Email us now. untapped@cliffcentral.com. Be unforgettable. You miss 100% of the opportunities you don't take. Ooh. So there's one for you.
True.
All right, get in there.
This is CliffCentral.com.